Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shea Bowes. He's still Augie, but he's still on his holidays. Enforced. The gulag. Yeah. But, you know, we're still working together remotely. It's a remote affair. And speaking about remote affairs, the old World Cup. Yeah. Some people are kind of a little bit iffy about whether it should have been held at all in the United States of America. Drink breaks, water breaks, commercial breaks. Justin Bieber looking like he'd just snorted a kilogram of cocaine in the halftime show. Someone else who liked to sort of inject himself into proceedings, let's say, was the Big Don. And that's where we're going to start, of course, this week. The Big Don had some fairly choice things to say about Spain. As we all know, you know, he wasn't that complimentary of the old Españolas, right? Of course he wasn't, because he wouldn't let their boys fly through Spain and disagreements on Palestine, etc., etc., etc. But when the Spanish won the World Cup, the Big Don seemed to have a slight change in heart, right? He suddenly wanted to be all over Spain like a bad jacket. We put together a little juicy little video to kind of display the consistency of the Big Don. And we all know he's completely consistent, right? Right. Won the video, Augie.
I didn't speak to Spain. Spain is a wasted cause. We don't want to do any trade with Spain.
Wasted cause?
I don't want anything to do with Spain. Cut off all trade with Spain.
Cut them off.
Including visits. Okay, we don't want anything to do. Watch them come running back. Oh.
A few moments later.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to actually drag him out. Look, Infantino, his friend, they had to pull him out of the photograph, right? Yeah. And interestingly, of course, Gianni Infantino, quite a controversial man, the man in charge of FIFA. Some people say that Gianni got a phone call from the Big Don when the American star player, got a ban from the next match. Gianni had nothing to do with the fact that the red card was immediately dropped, of course. And it's nothing to do with the fact that the Big Don now wants Gianni Infantino, the Football Association boss, to become Secretary General of the UN. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Now, you saw the Big Don there, right? Literally having to get pulled away from the photograph, from the camera. He loves the limelight. He's a showman, right? That's what he is. He's not really a politician. He's a showman, right? Now, he injects himself into everything. So we've kind of put together a little video which would show what would happen if the Big Don sort of had a time machine or was back in history, putting himself into the center of various events that have happened in the annals of time. I said annals. You know, don't speak ill of the dead. Lindsey Graham. I said annals. Not. Anyway, run the video, Augie. Here he comes. There he is. I want to hold your hand. See that Pierre did truly love the madam. Oh, there he is. Yeah. And now the young monsieur and madame have run the chapel. Yeah, this is good.
Yes, indeed. They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the lunar surface.
And the last bit there, of course, of the moon landing, some people absolutely believe that that just never happened, okay? It never happened, right? Just like the Big Don and Jeffrey Epstein were never mates. They never hung out together. He never whispered in Jeffrey's ear. It never happened, just like the moon landing never happened. Yeah. But anyway, look, for the pure football fans there, you don't have to worry. The Big Don, in the end, check it out, was cut out of the photographs by the Spanish, right? Spain and the US, it ain't so sweet right now, you know? Bit of tension over the military. And speaking of the military, Pete Hegseth, the sort of dynamic golden boy American with his big crusader tattoo. Perfect guy you want to be interfacing with the Arabs and the Muslim population in the Middle East. Perfect choice. Yeah. He has decided to prioritize something which I suppose is very important, really. It's testosterone. Big Pete, you know. When he's sober enough to get to the gym, he's doing pretty well. He looks in good shape for his age. But he wants everybody now in the U.S. military to get tested for testosterone. I presume it's only the males, right? I don't think he's going to start testing the women, although I can think of a few women that would need a testosterone test because they may have too much of it. Laura Loomer, Michelle Obama. I mean, come on, Macron's wife, give me a break. No, that's wrong. Don't say that. Okay, let's have a listen to Big Pete making sure that the boys have the balls to get the job done, literally. Run the video, Uggs.
I'm authorizing a new screening program for testosterone deficiency for our service members, ensuring you have the right testosterone levels to operate at your absolute best. If treatment is recommended, it's entirely your choice to receive testosterone replacement therapy.
It's entirely your choice, but you're going to get out of the army probably if you don't take it. Yeah, totally your choice.
Of course.
Now, talking about testosterone therapy, just rewinding a little bit, check this out. Maybe Pete Hegseth is the man who needs a bit of testosterone. It doesn't look like there's that much weight. Check it on that bar. Pete, maybe you're the first. Maybe Pete got a test, right, Augie? And he found out that he has, like, testosterone levels through the floor. And he's trying to, you never know. Now, sticking with the military. The U.S. had a hard time recently, of course, with the war in the Middle East that they started. The Straits of Hormuz that were closed, that were open before they started, which they're now fighting to open again, with the war with Iran, the Iranian military, which they say was completely destroyed, which is now killing Americans. Quite a lot of Americans, we're told. Only a few are getting actually revealed, but the various U.S. media is telling a lot more. People are dying and getting injured. Now, when it comes to dealing with the bereaved families of U.S. Military personnel, who else would you think would be better, who would have the finesse and the sensitivity, right, to engage with these very, very poor people? And it's tragic. Anybody lost in any conflict is very tragic. The Big Don, right? So he's going to go and comfort, put his arm around the shoulder of those poor victims, parents, etc., and offer them a trip on a plane. Yeah. It's just your kid is just dead, just died in a completely unnecessary war of choice. It's a complete show, okay? Probably joined out of economic desperation anyway, like a lot of Hispanics, a lot of black people, a lot of people from the poorest echelons of U.S. Society are now in the military in the U.S. It's a fact. But when they actually get killed in a completely unnecessary war of choice, don't worry about it. You get a ride on Air Force One. Yeah, bingo. You've hit the jackpot. Yeah, run the video, Augie.
I attended the dignified transfer ceremony for four great U.S. service members killed in the conflict with Iran. As they returned to American soil at Dover. And one of the families happened to be traveling to Georgia. Beautiful family, beautiful wife and husband and brother-in-law. And I said, I'm going to Georgia, too. Where are you going? She said, well, after this, sir, they lost their beautiful son. We're going to Georgia. I said, so if you want, I'll give you a ride on Air Force One. And they said, wow.
Wow. Yeah. So I can see now, you know, it's like the fare rates. You know, you got the fares. You got economy class. You got business. You got, luxury business. And then you got get your son killed in an unnecessary war, Air Force One with the president class. Now, the slight difference in the ticket prices. Now, not being content with knowing exactly how to placate and to console the people whose kid he just essentially killed with his war, because that's basically what happened. If Donald Trump didn't start bombing the shit out of Iran unnecessarily, those people would be alive today. Factual reality. Not only on top of that, you know, and give them a ride on Air Force One, it kind of cheapens everything a little bit. That's how I feel. Now, he also has become a mind reader. Okay, now we do a bit of mind reading here on the Moscow Mules, but the Big Don also now knows exactly what the last thing that went through these poor unfortunate people who died in the war of choice in Iran were thinking. And you might wonder, what was it? Were they thinking about their families? Were they thinking, why the f*** did I join this army? Were they thinking we're screwed? Who knows what they were thinking? But the Big Don does know, and it will surprise you what the last thing that went through their mind was. We can't allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Yeah, that's the last thing. How do we know this? Because the Big Don tells us so. Run the video, Augie.
They are indeed great heroes, actually. They said, and all of them said very strongly,
We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. They won't have a nuclear weapon.
What? What? Oh. Now, we're going to get on Air Force One and we're going to leave the United States for America. It's doing so well. Everything is doing so good. America is so hot, right? It's so hot. It's so hot right now. Everybody loves their country. Let's leave the United States of America. Let's hitch a ride on Air Force One and head to Europe. Now, in the midst of everything that's happening in Europe right now, economic collapse, Germany's industry is hemorrhaging jobs. 350,000 people have lost their jobs in heavy industry in Germany since 2022. Think about that. It's screwed, okay? They're going to start making artillery shells and tanks in the old Volkswagen factories. Yeah, I think you know where this is heading. So what do you think the European Broadcasting Union, the people who are basically in charge of making the rules about what you can watch on TV in Europe, you can't watch us. We're RT. We're evil. We might just tell you the truth. So what are they focused on? Well, they're focused on making sure you don't see women's bodies or little bits of women's bodies that might offend somebody. Now, I think we all know who this is aimed at not offending, okay? You remember when you were a kid watching the Olympics, you know, the volleyball was very popular with the boys, let's say, certain elements, you know, the sprinters, the pole vaulters, these beautiful creatures, you know, leaping along, I mean, plenty to look at and very much enjoyable, normal heterosexual reality, right? Yeah, now, the European Broadcasting Union wants to stop you seeing anything that might be considered sexualizing women. I shit you not. The European Broadcasting Union are the same people who create the Eurovision Song Contest every year. Check out some of the freaks that they allow our kids and families to look at there. Men with beards in dresses, the whole shebang. But you can't see a very hot sprinter from wherever in her nice little pair of pants running up there. That's completely illegal. You've got to ban that, right? Now, we've put together a little video to show you what the next European Athletics Championship will probably look like if the European Broadcasting Union gets their woke way. Yeah, run the video, Augie. What the f***? It's like the Epstein Olympics. What is this? Yeah. 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 It's like the Epstein Island community games. Yeah. If you win, what's the prize? anyway, moving on. Now, of course, speaking about women and sexual objectification, you know, one country that's seen a real spike in attacks on female sexualized attacks is Germany. Now, it's nothing to do, of course, with the massive immigrant population there, the Muslim population attacking. That's nothing to do with it, okay? Maybe it is something to do with it. Yeah, it's not. And the German government have decided not to allow women to carry pepper spray or, you know, any way to defend themselves. They've decided that you've got to dance. If you're walking through a park late at night after a few beers with your phone, you know, being followed by some dude, you got to turn around, you got to dance away the danger. Basically, this is real. This is real. Run the video, Augie.
Hey, sexy mamacita. Gib mir deine Nummer.
Stopp. Wir Frauen wollen keine Sprüche mehr hören.
Wir Frauen wollen keine Sprüche mehr hören.
Yeah? Really? Dance of the doomed, I would say. Now, let's not leave the subject of objectifying women. It seems that you can't see an athlete in clothing which are necessary for her to do her long jump or do her sprinting or play soccer or whatever. You can't see that. But you can, you know, mainstream and mainline the wearing of religious clothing in the public domain, let's say. Some countries have banned the hijab, the headscarf, but some are now promoting it very actively. And one of those countries is the United Kingdom. Check out what greets you if you land in Gatwick Airport in the UK. And you need to talk to the AI assistant, right? Have a look. The AI assistant looks absolutely, of course, as you'd expect, dressed in traditional English attire, what most women are dressed in, right? Yeah, that's what you would imagine, okay? It is England, it is the UK, it's a predominantly Christian country, but no, this is what you're going to get. Yeah, run the video, Augie.
At Gatwick Airport, a hologram of a hijab-wearing woman helps guide passengers. providing information and support using modern AI technology.
Why has she got a hijab on? Why? Has the UK become a majority Muslim country? I know they've got a Muslim king, King Charles. I'm joking. I mean, it's all part of the move towards complete unity and pluralism, right? That's what it's all about. Now, if you did land in Gatwick Airport and you asked for directions from the hijab-wearing AI assistant, she may say to you, why don't you head to Bournemouth? Bournemouth, beautiful place. Lovely beach there this time of the year. And you will really get to see some traditional British seaside activities. Yeah? So you would say, of course, I'll head to Bournemouth. I'll see some traditional British seaside activities. And off you would go. And when you arrived in Bournemouth, a traditional seaside resort, you have fish and chips, you know, a bit of paddling, Punch and Judy show, you know, all the usual stuff, donkey rides up and down the beach. Nah, this is what's happening in Bournemouth on the beach. And maybe this is why the hijab-wearing robot told you to head there. Run the video, Augie. Me. Of course, let me say this very clearly. If 500 Christians decided to go to a very public place in any Muslim country, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Afghanistan, you know, anywhere, and decided in a public show to start saying the rosary or kneeling down or holding a mass, for example, with all their religious equipment, they would be completely safe and nobody would touch them. They would be completely fine. Now, you would imagine, of course, in the UK, that somebody might actually speak up about this and say, well, is this okay? Is this really okay? No. The English are too polite. They're too polite. They get in line, they stay in the queue, and they kind of say, yeah, it's really good. They don't say anything. Well, they don't say anything until it's too late. Yeah. Now, that's not the same on the other end of Europe, right? In a place called Hungary, a place very dear to my heart, a place I've spent a lot of time in, where the new prime minister, the new darling of the EU, Peter Magyar, Magyar meaning Hungarian, you know, a very patriotic name, he had an interaction with one of the locals recently. Now, it may be because Magyar has just seized the entire server of the Fidesz party, all of their data, all of their electronic devices from their head HQ to find out what they've been doing. This remarkable act of political, crushing of the opposition. Magyar just ordered this. Maybe this man, who isn't shy about making his feelings known about the new prime minister, who's the darling of Ursula von der Leyen, by the way. Lovely man, Peter Magyar. Mm-hmm. This local Hungarian, let's say, has the old European or Eastern European spirit, at least. And I'm sure there's nothing wrong with his testosterone. Run the video,
Augie.
He spat at him. He spat on him. Yeah. Now, you got to ask yourself, where was the security team? Who knows? Who knows? Now, something that our friend Peter Magyar did when he took power in Hungary, aside from completely oppressing the opposition, kicking down doors and victimizing people, he's getting into the swing of things. I think he's getting friendly with Zelensky. One of the other things he did is he unblocked the aid to guess where? Yes, to the narco-fuhrer. He unblocked a significant aid package, 90 billion euros for the Ukrainians. Now, you can hear, talking about getting spat, you can hear the saliva being produced in the Kiev crime syndicate, thinking about this cash. When are we getting our next hit of dough and cash? Okay, well, you know, we think here in the Moscow Mules that there's a slight possibility, right? Just a slight possibility that some of the money, a little tiny bit maybe, might be getting stolen. Yes, I know, it's big news. I know you're shocked to hear this, that the chance that such a democratic and free and libertarian and wonderful place, that anything could happen like that. Yeah, but we think we might have spotted a little bit of the evidence. Yeah. Civilian targets, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. Let's have a look at where we think a big chunk of your taxpayers' money is going. And it ain't going to the front lines. Run the video, Augie. Check the blueprint.
Hear the whispers on the street. New money talking, rolling on European concrete. Taxpayer euros. Funny how the paper flows from European pockets to the high-end car shows. Panamera gleaming S-Class in the fast lane. Ghost in the driveway. No more feeling any pain. Used to push ladders. Now it's V12 engines. Raw crimson red interior. Kicking down a luxury door.
Now, you could say that people in Ukraine are buying high-powered cars, right? Because they need to escape from Zelensky's, you know, man catchers.
My nose is itchy. Speaking about Zelensky, I get an itchy nose. It's like, as soon as I think about white talcum powder falling on my nose. Okay.
Now, you may ask yourself, so what? You know, Ukraine's at war, the evil Russians invaded. I'm sure most of this wealth that's created in the war is going to the front lines. The Ukrainian soldier who's dragged out of his house, beaten the crap out of, locked in a detention center and sent to die. They have the best of equipment, right? When them horrible Russians come calling, it's all good. It's all fine. Absolutely. Yes. Well, we would like to demonstrate to you, the caliber of equipment that the ordinary Ukrainian soldier has when it comes to defeating the evil Russians. Compared to, let's say, the bosses, with the big factories, some of which are burning now in Kiev. Yeah. Yeah. Here it is. Run the video, Augie. Yeah. Poor guy. Yeah. Two wheels, you know, 6 miles per hour, and a one-way trip to Valhalla, I think they call it. Valhalla calling me. Now, maybe this guy on the bike survived. You know, let's hope he did. And maybe he was then sent by his bosses into Konstantinovka. Check it out on the map. This is the city, the very important, or suddenly unimportant city, if you listen to the Ukrainian media, that the Russians have just taken. Part of a defense belt, which is really the last line of defense for the Ukrainians in Donbass. Now, they sent, I think, 4 or 6 elderly Ukrainian soldiers into the center of the Russian-controlled town to put up 2 flags with a picture of Zelensky and Mr. Sursky on them. Yeah, it was so cringe. They sent them in there, okay, to record this propaganda video. The 2 old dudes with the flags, right? You know, of course, they were captured. Several of them were killed, very sadly. And then the Russians decided to create a little propaganda video of their own, where these poor guys were made, hoist the Russian flag. And they sent it back to the Ukrainians. You know, there's kind of a poetic justice to this, but it just shows the Ukrainians will do anything for PR, including getting their own people killed. Surprise, surprise. Run the video, Augie.
Mr. President, Commander-in-Chief, allow me to report that today the fighters of the Skelia Regiment cleared the House of Culture in the city of Konstantinivka and returned the flag to its rightful place.
A few moments later,
our unit was officially deployed and sent to the city of Konstantinivka, fully aware of the fact that it was firmly under the strategic control of Russian soldiers. They treated us with respect. Thank you to the 4th Brigade of the 2nd Territorial Defense.
Glory to the Russian Federation.
Now, you may ask yourself, where are these people coming from? And how could Ukraine continue to be finding these predeceased, unfortunate individuals for the front line? Well, you gotta give them some credit. They're dipping into various different ways to do it. Waiting outside toilets, hitting weddings, gyms, everywhere. But there's other places that they're now targeting. And it seems the tentacles of the man-hunting octopus are absolutely everywhere, even when you're playing a video game online. Yeah, check this out. Run the video, Augie.
One time after work, I was playing Counter-Strike and killed one of the terrorists. He starts telling me I'm a camper running around with an AWP and asks if I can play any other way. We got into an argument and I told him to go f*** himself and called him a f***. He told me to watch my mouth because he was from the TCC and if I kept running my trap, he'd find me.
Wow.
I said, find me, you can't even find your own dick in your pants. Well, the next day a van pulled up and they said, this is what you get for running your mouth.
Wow, wow. So the guy got abducted from his house, sent to the front to die potentially. Luckily, this guy was captured by the Russians because of what he said in a chat room for a video game. Welcome to the home of liberty, justice and democracy, country 404, yeah, Ukraine. Well, speaking about games and virtual reality, the entire political reality in Ukraine is kind of a virtual reality. It's not real. It's about as real as these protests that we're seeing on the streets of Ukraine. Now, riddle me this, Batman.
What's up, babe?
Why would a group of university students suddenly be so animated about the replacement of a defense minister or a general? They haven't come out when a whole city has collapsed. They haven't come out when people are getting dragged off the street, when 100 million was stolen from the energy grid by, Mindich. They didn't come out when Yermak was arrested for stealing 10 million. They don't come out for anything, but suddenly they come out with identical signs saying, oh, we need the defense minister preserved. He's a great guy. We love him so much. There's even been video of them actually admitting they don't have a clue what they're protesting for. Yeah, you give enough money, you get Rent-A-Crowd. Now, but we did spot something kind of interesting in Rent-A-Crowd. Let's have a look at this. Our friend, the narco-fuhrer, the Green Goblin, getting a little bit of what he deserves, you know, even though we think that these protests are kind of theatre, just like the theatre master himself, Mr. Zelensky. Runa Oggy. Now, a lot of people in the West are thinking that, oh, you know, this is great. There's protests against Zelensky. This means some sort of enlightenment, that these people are going to, you know, throw out this war-hungry government that sold itself to NATO, along with 50% of the population and 25% of the territory of Ukraine. They're going to sue for peace, all will be well, and on we will go. Nah, not really. This Rent-A-Crowd that you saw in Kiev and in a couple of other places over Mr. Fyodorov, isn't that nice a bunch, really. Here's a little video which kind of demonstrates the indoctrination of Ukraine's youth, specifically the youth which is willing to take some money to come out and wave cardboard signs about a defense minister. Yeah, because that's the most important thing, like I said, for young people in Ukraine right now. Check out whoever doesn't jump is a Moscow. It's kind of a racist sort of trope about Russians. You know, nothing really changes. 2014, 2026, is there any cure for this? I think we know what it is. Run the video, Oggs. Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of yet another show. We love making it. We love you joining us. And I kind of think the theme this week has been all about theatre, right? We ended on theatre, this manufactured reality. Of course, the manufactured reality right now is that Ukraine is winning. Yes, it's winning. That's why it's lost a quarter of its country. Half its population is gone. It's mired in corruption and it's losing 1,000 men a day. Yeah, that's winning. That's completely winning. If that's winning, I'd hate to see losing. But it doesn't matter about the facts, because the facts you're presented with day in, day out by the media, who are part of the industrial complex, which feeds the politicians who make up the wars, who tell you the lies, and it's a big circle jerk. Yeah, you get it. You're not really getting the truth. But here on the Moscow Mules, we endeavour in our little slot, our little peek into your life, to shine that little light and hopefully let you see the other side of the coin, because it's always good to talk and it's good to listen too. So we'll see you same time, same place next week, and until then, look after each other and look after yourselves.